Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 755. We're recording on July 20. We're recording on July 14th, I think.
We're confused.
We'll get there. But you're likely listening it to some at some point thereafter.
Yes.
Anyway, this is Wells Tech, show about technology and ministry, where those two intersect. And joining me, as usual, the one who's got it together.
Right.
Hello, Sally.
Hi, Martin. I'm the one who put the misleading notes in the thing that you're looking at. So, yeah, you can blame me for that.
It has nothing to do with anything, but it's okay. You listen when you listen.
Yeah, I got a little Wells Tech feedback yesterday at church. Mm-hmm. Someone came up to me, actually a very wonderful young man came up to me and said, I listened to the podcast. And I was like, oh boy, what'd you hear there? You know, and he happens to be a very talented musician, just finished high school, son of our pastor, Rivers Nelson. And Rivers is going off to college to study urban planning as well as organ. He's going to minor in organ, which is pretty cool. Very dedicated to that craft. And you can imagine that he may have listened to our podcast where we talked to Pastor Nate Siles about AI music. And he had some feedback on that and said, yeah, I'm not sure I agree with you on that one. And so AI just keeps coming up, Martin. I think that's kind of the moral of the story. It's a Pandora's box. It's open. It's out there. And there's people that have strong feelings on both sides of the coin. And also a lot of people that maybe don't realize how much they're using AI already in the things they do and rely on day to day. So interesting topic. I think we're going to hear lots more about.
Sure are. I am recently trying out a IA-based browser from Perplexity called Comet, where basically you can use AI to navigate the web, to ask questions of the web, of your email, anything on your screen, basically. So when you're typing in a search term, it goes immediately into to Perplexity. It's a kind of an interesting concept, maybe the future of browsing. We'll see.
Yeah, I always think about the Star Trek movie with the whales. The one where they come to current time and he picks up the mouse and says, computer, you know, he's trying to communicate. Just think, maybe you just have to think it and the browser will bring it up. Who knows?
Thanks for us. All right. We are continuing our little summer series. We've kind of subtitled it Why Things Matter. And we are looking at today some tips and tricks for social media graphics. I think almost every organization these days has some kind of social presence. And along with that, and we've encouraged this over the years, and it's kind of best practices now that when you make a post, you have some kind of imagery, whether that be a picture, a video, something other than or in addition to words.
And why does that matter?
That's what we're going to talk about. I think the concept that you have to spend a little bit of time in on this is can't be said enough. The good news is there's just some super cool tools that allow these things to happen and maybe even enforce some of these best practices on you. But visuals really help that message stand out. We're talking about platforms like Instagram and Facebook and those kinds of things, but even like a blog post or something on your website, if it's just raw text, it's not going to have the impact that that something that has imagery will do. So where do you want to start, Sally, with this?
Well, I like to start foundationally with the word simple. I think that's a great concept to adopt as you're doing any type of graphic element. So you want your graphics to communicate, obviously, but you want to do that with minimal fonts and minimal words and a lot of white space and different things like that. So that you're not overwhelming people with your message, but you're communicating it clearly as simply as possible, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. So keep it, you start simple for sure. Then if you need to add more detail to get the message across. But keep in mind, people are just kind of looking at this, with a split second and then moving on. So if they have to really inspect it or think too hard about what they're seeing, it's probably a cue that you've over-engineered it, so to speak. So, yeah, just good general design principles. Little, not a lot of text. Keep white space in there. Don't go overboard with the number of fonts and the number of colors. Those kinds of things. So keep it simple. Good tip.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of reminded of a weekend activity I had. I met my cousin who was visiting from Georgia at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, and we perused centuries of artwork from all over the world, you know. And I think perusing the web and graphics that are used for communication helps you to refine and solidify kind of that keep it simple concept. That's what I got out of a lot of the art at the MIA. It was complex and deep. I didn't get it as well as the things that were more straightforward and stuff. And again, like you said, the amount of time they're going to spend on it in a web environment versus an art gallery where someone might plant themselves in front of something for hours to study it. The web is fast, and so I think, yeah, get exposure to what's out there and help it to form your simple approach to website graphics or social graphics.
Generation, yes. By the way, we should have mentioned that some of the information we find, we're not really making this up on our own. We're culling this information from different sources. One of those is Concordia Technology Solutions blog on this topic. And we're going to be sharing some stuff from Grace Ungemach, too, here, one of our friends of the show as well. Establish clear hierarchy. This is really talking about the textual content, or at least the what text that you have. So decide the main message or element for each post. So what's the big idea? And make the primary text large and bold, and then use smaller, more muted fonts for supported details. Like if you're advertising an event, the date, time, and location need to be on there, but they don't need to be, the biggest text on the image. So you're guiding the viewer's eyes naturally from the most important to the least important. So what's the big idea? What's the attention grabber? What's the hook? What's the call to action? And then give them the details once they've determined that this is worth looking at.
I like it. Another thing you want to do is consistently communicate your brand. And by that, I mean maybe just as simple as a very small logo included in every image. I don't know if anyone notices, but I do that with the WellsTech imagery that we create for each show. I always try to include the little WellsTech headphones with the audio rings going out or whatever to represent, you know, that this is WellsTech content, to have some continuity around that. So if you have brand colors, anything like that can help it tie back to who you are and make it more consistent for your viewers to recognize that it's your content.
Sure. You notice that each of us, if you're watching, has that subtle Wells logo or not, or Wells Tech logo, maybe not so subtle, right behind our heads here. So, leverage templates for efficiency. This makes a lot of sense, and the tools that are available really make this a lot easier. So, if you have something that recurs, maybe it's sermon notes or weekly announcements or an event like VBS, whatever it is, Templates can be your friend. So once you've done it, once you've put the time in and the energy into to create something, consider saving that as a template so it can be reused. And then there's some sameness, some consistency for the viewer, the person who's consuming your content that, hey, I know this. This is part of this particular series or from this particular organization. So you can change things subtly from template to template, but it's not a bad idea to have a collection of these things. And it's a super time saver too.
Absolutely. I like the word change in there. You don't want to get boring with the exact same cookie cutter over and over look to it. But one thing I'll do oftentimes is pick up colors from whatever imagery I'm using in my graphics. So if I have a photo of someone we've interviewed or whatever, maybe I pick up a background color that's part of that photo. And I'm actually going to show you some little tricks that make that pretty easy to do with my favorite image editing software, Canva. We'll dive into that in a few minutes.
Yep. And then
So,
the last
yeah.
item in this particular article was practical tips for non-designers. And that's a good point too, that you don't necessarily have to have a graphic design degree to do this stuff because of the tools and some of the tips here. Simple guidelines, just follow some of the things that we were talking about. Just focus, I mean, you know what good design looks like, even if you're not a designer, you can look at it online and know if that resonates with you. So readability is something you want to put at the top of your list. Clarity, visual appeal, rather than these complex design elements. And then, as we said, as he mentioned, simplicity, consistency are more effective than flashy or cluttered graphics. Just again, start simple and build up your library, look at other examples, and just dive in.
Yeah, wanted to bring you another example or an example from a Wells congregation in Seattle called Illumen. I believe that's Pastor Kent Reeder. And just bringing up their Instagram, they have 515 posts. So they've been at it for a while and they've been doing it consistently, which is very important. But just kind of perusing some of the images that are part of their Insta, you can see sometimes they do some quote things where they use a similar graphic over and over. That's that templated concept. It's a little paper boat floating on water, and they put text over it or whatever. And so there's some consistency there. The rest of their images look pretty light and bright and pretty consistent. So I like the vibe that I get at Illumin, and I can quickly learn things that are going on. Yeah, find out events, get a little snippet of what happened in the sermon this week, that kind of thing, as I subscribe to their Instagram. So just kind
Interesting
of,
camera angles. So again, looking at other examples is a great way to get started.
Yeah, for sure. So you did mention that we wanted to dive into Grace's article as well. She actually wrote something about social media templates a few months ago. And this is kind of getting to the nuts and bolts of how to create that consistent look and everything. And she goes through and talks about, picking some colors and getting a Canva Instagram size square post available. And then once you do that, she shared a template herself that has an example. And if you check out her article, you can click and get that example in your Canva as well. But basically, she has examples of different color combinations and kind of changing those up to get lights and neutrals and even some dark backgrounds so that you have different options, but they all kind of go together to form a variety of things that you can use. For consistency across your brand. And she gets into a little bit about fonts and the font sizes. I think you mentioned, Martin, that it's good to have kind of a bigger font and a smaller font. And she has an example of that. She even helps you pick your font size by having this box on the first slide or the first image that's part of this template where you can actually change out the font. and see how it fits in a particular box she's drawn on there. So if you pick something maybe that's larger or smaller, it might prompt you to make the font size a bit smaller to fit completely into the box. So that gives you kind of some perspective, because some fonts are really tiny, and when you pick them, they don't take up nearly as much room. And so you want to make them a good readable size, and you can kind of play with font size and things in relation to the box that Grace provided. So just having kind of some standards there around trying to decide what to use and what sizes to use, color variations and things like that. Grace kind of goes into it in depth, but again, she's pretty succinct with what she says. It's not a long article or anything, but it gives you a good feel of what she's trying to communicate with this Canva template that you can get a copy of. So,
good.
Yeah, it is good stuff. And since I'm on Canva, I'm just going to keep going a little bit with the fact that Canva is free for nonprofits. We've talked about that on the show before, but it seems to be really developed as a standard out there of for graphic design, for easy graphic design. If you know Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop, then that's where you should be going, because obviously those are superior products than something web-based and more simplified like the Canva interface. But Canva is great for those of us that don't have those kind of skills to use. So yeah, you can apply right there on their website. We'll have a link in the show notes and take advantage of the free Canva account.
Nice. Very good. Yeah, Canva is just probably the tool these days. And again, the price is right, and it's worth the investment. There are so many educational videos or tutorials out there that can get you up to speed in very specific ways. I know my wife has been looking at educators using Canva for lesson planning and classroom newsletters and all the templates that are available out there for that kind of stuff. So super time saver.
Yeah, it's kind of a Swiss Army knife these days. It can do presentations, it can do, you know, text, it has AI built in that you can take advantage of if you want to. It's pretty impressive.
It is. Yep. Good deal. So that is our little segment, tips and tricks on upping your social media graphics game. So why social media graphics matter for churches, schools, you know, our organizations that are seeking to spread the gospel. So good stuff. All right, let's move on, Sally, to our tips picks of the week.
And I'm sure everyone's going to be really surprised to know that I picked something related to Canva, one of my favorite tools. And again, giving you exposure to different ideas and things around social media graphics. So Canva actually has a huge collection of templates that you can make use of to spark ideas or to modify if you want to go with what they've done around church. And it's got a huge variety. There's different sizes. You could make a flyer. You could, size it for different social media standards and things like that. But it does give you a place to look to get ideas for social media posts for your church. And so I'll have a link in the show notes to this page of Canva templates. If there's something that you see that you like and you want to make use of, it's as easy as clicking on the graphic. You can customize the template. And then at that point, you could do things like add your brand colors and such as that, you know, switch out the photos so it's actually someone from your church or whatever it may be. Super easy to make changes to it once you have a template to start with. So definitely check out the church templates on Canva.
Do you find that there's any limitations on that account, the Canva for nonprofits? So the premium content is all available there, or do you find some things that you can't get at?
No, nope, you can get at everything. The Canva symbolizes it with a little crown if it's for premium, and you definitely have access to all the crowns. So you can do it all with the free account.
Very nice. All right. My pick of the week is a little hardware pick, and occasionally you stumble across something that's super cheap but super useful. And we live in a world where there's all kinds of USB specifications out there. You have USB A, you have USB C, there's all kinds of crazy connectors. And one thing that I found is that the old USB A is still in frequent use, especially with device manufacturers that want you to plug it into your computer. But your computer typically doesn't have USB A ports anymore, it only has USB C. And there's other monitor connections and those kinds of things. So sometimes you often need an adapter. So I bought a couple of adapters the other day, and I just wanted to make them my pick. They are, just going to hold it up to the screen here, Anker, which is a manufacturer that does a lot of things. They do power supplies and those kinds of things. I think I've picked one of their power supplies in the past. But these are just little USB-C to USB, to USB, they just call it USB-A. Female adapters. This is a two pack. I forget how much this was, maybe $9, $10, something like that for two. They have a little light on them, which is kind of nice so that you can know that there is power going through them. $8.99 it is, yeah. And just a quick little purchase, and just throw them, wherever you need to throw them, and then they can kind of remain attached to the cable. Which is nice if you get like a two pack or a four pack, you get enough that you can just leave them on the cable that you're interested in. You don't always have to fish in your drawer, your backpack, or your whatever. They just kind of live on that device with the, let's say, USB A connector. Now it becomes a USB C connector. You just plug it into your monitor, your laptop, your whatever, your power supply. And away you go. It's just removes one of those little annoyances that we currently have. I know, first world problem, but it definitely is a, I think, a worthy investment in trying to upgrade your little connectors so that you don't have to think, well, I got to carry this dongle or that dongle. They're right there for you. So again, Anker's a mainstream, good supplier of these kinds of things, and thought for $9, so it's $4.50 a piece. Not a bad purchase. So
Yeah, that's a good sale price. 44% off, it says. Normally $15.99. So, and it's not even Prime Days anymore. So that's a good deal. I'm smiling because before we started, I said, I wonder if I've used my little two pack, or I think I might have bought a four pack of these as a pick of the week in the past. But while you described it, I realized what a dinosaur I am because mine are the exact opposite of this, what I
You're
bought.
going C to
Yes, I
A,
plugged into my USB A and I got a USB C out of the deal. And that's because everything I have is USB A. So I must not be as advanced in my hardware as you are, Martin. And
little
yeah,
thumb,
who
your
would
tiny
be surprised by
thumb.
that?
So you're, well, it works in the opposite. So your peripherals are more advanced than my computer, but
Truth.
it's a,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So,
But
and
it,
it's nice. I have a USB hub, a USB A hub. So when
right.
we travel, I just take this hub with me and it has those plugged in already. So I'm ready to go with whatever I need when I need to charge and travel.
All right. So those are our picks of the week. Let's move on to community feedback.
Yeah. And I'm going to do a quick screen share, just a shout out to our Facebook community friends at Wells Intersections, a community of 952 members now, mainly curated by Pastor James Aderman. It's been going on for quite a while. I would almost be able to date it because we had a Wells Tech conference in 2015, Martin, and I think Pastor Aderman started this after that conference.
Think that
So,
was kind of the idea generator for that.
yeah, probably a 10-year anniversary happening right around now. Intersections, it says, is a group of Wells Elles members who are interested in exploring the ways technology intersects with ministry in order to enhance their personal and congregational disciple making. And again, Pastor Aderman has been the leading voice behind this for many, many years. Just recently, however, there was an announcement that they're going to have an administrative team moderating the site and, adding content and things like that. So he's added Cindy Krieger friend of the show, Kevin Poston and Sharon Ragner, to the admin team. And if you scroll through past posts since about mid-June, he's been featuring them and introducing them and their different activities and, you know, technology backgrounds and things like that. So just super cool to welcome them. And also feature this one post that came out last Friday, and it's about brand and style. So it really kind of ties into the discussion that we've been having today. Kevin Poston says that they're working on the brand and style guides for Wells Intersections because they're splitting up duties and they want to be consistent and things like that. And one resource they found is from Facebook. It's called Branding Your Community, and they have growing group resources. And so looks like a really great resource from Facebook talking about defining your mission, creating a tone, using nicknames and symbols to bring your members together, branding visually, and identifying your advocates. So if you're interested, then dig deeper into this Facebook resource shared by Kevin Poston over on the Wells Intersections group. If you're not part of Wells Intersections, it's a great group to ask discussion questions of and things like that. So definitely tune in.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for all your work over these many years. It's certainly appreciated. Probably a good show interview in the future is to bring those folks on and talk to them about their work there. So I'll talk to them. All right. If people want to contribute to the show, speaking of groups, we have lots of different ways you can join the Wells Tech family. Mm-hmm. If you go to wellstech.wells.net, that's our show notes page, and you'll find every show from the beginning of Wells Tech time back in January of 08, I want to say.
That's correct.
All 755 of them. I don't actually think there's 755. I think there's 754 because we skipped one. But
this one's 755.
What's that?
This one we're recording right now will be 755.
Right. But I think we skipped show 666.
Oh, you're correct. Wow. That's a good memory.
Yes.
I like to forget about things with 666 in them.
I know. Okay. Anyway, wellstech.wells.net, wellstech at wells.net's the email address, but you'll find us on all the socials, especially on Pinterest, where I spend a lot of my time. That's where you're going to find my work. So just kidding. But we'd love to see you there, have your comments there, suggestions, all those things to grow our community as well. So thanks for joining us this week. We're going to continue with our summer series next time we gather with another tip or trick, something that matters. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a great week. Bye-bye.